And now on WRS, Michael McKay with the McKay Interview.
Hello, everyone. International Geneva, as its name implies, is well known all over the world. We here in the western part of Switzerland are very proud of the important contribution it makes on the global stage to multilateralism, not only at the United Nations and other international organizations, but the myriad of significant organizations, some with a very long and distinguished history, like, for example, the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, and others. However, a relatively new organization is the topic of my conversation today. It's not new to listeners to the McKay Interview, and it has a name which is not the easiest to roll off the tongue, the Geneva Science and Diplomacy Anticipator. They call it GESDA for short. We learned about it first back in January of this year from Michael Müller, who is known to many of you listening as the former Director General of the United Nations in Geneva and is now leading the diplomacy part of GESDA. Well, today I have the privilege and pleasure to be with the president of the GESDA Foundation, the top man, and someone who needs little or no introduction in Switzerland, having been for many years the chairman and CEO of Nestle. You've probably already guessed that I'm sitting with Peter Brabeck-Letmathe, and very close to Vevey. That's about 1 hour by car from Geneva and beside the beautiful lake, for those of you who don't know the region. Hello, Peter. It's my pleasure to meet you and to welcome you to the McKay Interview.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure having you here on the other side of the lake. We're in La Tour de Paix, where I have now my offices. And I'm very honored to receive you here at my office.
Thank you. Thanks for making time for me. And GESDA, I find a very fascinating and important project. Obviously, it's an important project, and we're going to talk about that in our conversation. I'm very keen to learn more about it from you today. My first question is this, Peter. You are one of Switzerland's most well-known faces in the world of business, locally and worldwide. Why are you involved in GESDA? What is it about the GESDA concept of science and diplomacy working together that attracted you at this late stage of your career to become part of its leadership? And was there a personal dimension to your decision to put your energy into this project?
Well, that's a very interesting question, which I'm asking myself once in a while. But I think we have to go backwards to what was the idea about GESDA. And the founders of GESDA, which are basically the Swiss government at Bern, together with the government of the canton and the city of Geneva, they were anticipating, which I must say was the first thing that surprised me, because in my long career and having been advisor to governments in many places of this world, I have seldom seen politicians anticipating. So when the Swiss government approached me and was talking about this idea of anticipating the future of multilateralism, I got interested, as you can imagine. And secondly, I think when the question I asked is why? And they told me it was their belief that science and diplomacy can help not only to renew multilateralism, which has been suffering, I would say, over the last couple of years quite a lot due to the new political governance that we have in many parts of the world, where nationalism is becoming almost a guiding principle. They believe that we could renew, and we have to renew multilateralism, which would be essential to overcome the major obstacles for the successful implementation of, for example, the UN 17 SDGs. So that sounded to me quite interesting. And the second objective that they explained to me they had was that they have an ambition to maintain Geneva as one of the most foremost centers of global governments and operational institution of the international community. So there were those two things which sounded quite interesting. Now, the rest, why me as chairman? That is a question you will have to ask perhaps the federal councillor Ignacio Cassis, because I didn't understand very well, not being Swiss, being Austrian and not living in Geneva. I'm living in Verbier, and having been running a company like Nestle, which does not necessarily have, I would say, the best image in some circles, political circles in this region. So I was quite surprised. But the challenge was very, very good. So I said, why not? Let's try it to see what we can do.
We're going to come back to that later on in our conversation. But let's come to what's happening next week. Zesda will very soon hold an important summit meeting in Geneva, next week, so I understand, with an agenda covering 16 topics. That's quite a lot. Is there a great interest and attendance from the business and investment community? Or will the attendees be mainly scientists and diplomats? And does it matter if that's the mix of the audience? And is there a public session? What I'm trying to get at, Peter, is given the high bar of attainment that Zesda sets itself, what are the objectives of a summit like the one that's coming up next week?
Yeah, I think the next week will be the first public appearance of Zesda. Up to now, we have been working, but we have not really approached the public. So this is a very crucial point in the short life of Zesda. It is an opportunity to also present our first products, which the first one is the scientific breakthrough radar. And also we are opening up our digital internet platform, which is open to all public all over the world. Which is a part, a response to your first question, whether there will be public. Yes, there will be public sessions, which are available to everything. But the basic idea is that we are going to present the outcome of the work of more than 500 scientists from all over the world. As a matter of fact, we had approached 4,000 scientists all over the world. We got active feedback from 543, 79 of which were Swiss, 177 were from Europe, from the rest of Europe, 162 from the United States, 92 from Asia, 22 from Africa and Middle East, and 11 from South America.
It's impressive.
It's an impressive, it gives you a picture what's really cooking in the laboratories of this world. And that was the first step we wanted to do. If we want to anticipate what's going to happen based on those scientific breakthroughs, we have, first of all, to know what's going on in those laboratories all over the world.
Sure.
And the breakthrough radar will show you in a very easily acceptable, accessible form what is happening out there and what could be and will be the impact on a 5-year, on a 10-year, and a 25-year horizon. We have then afterwards taken those scientific anticipatory briefs which were coming from the scientists and have given it to our diplomacy forum, which your friend Michael Müller is heading, and the diplomats, they gave us a first feeling of what could be the framework necessary that those breakthroughs can afterwards being applied. Because what most of people have seen is that there is a big gap between what science can produce and what we can afterwards use, because there are political considerations which does not allow you to do everything. On the other hand, there are also ethical considerations which should limit what the science can do. So this is in this confrontation with the diplomatic world, we are coming then to possible solutions for a better world and the more.
Well, that's what I want to find out from you now, Peter. Looking at the bigger picture, in a city like Geneva, one hears a lot about public-private partnership projects and their importance. I imagine that you, as a former leader of the world's largest food company, largest industrial company in Switzerland, have more experience than most about how public private relationship works best. The Gesta Foundation is a big project, having been initiated, as you said, by government, Bern, Geneva, and obviously using public money. Please, could you share with me then your insights into the type of advice you have given and continue to give to making Gesta successful, particularly as a businessman?
Yeah, I mean, you were touching on a very important subject. I mean, this is public money. And public money has a big danger that it puts you straight into local policy. On the other hand, to receive public money gives you the legitimacy that we need, the neutrality that we need in order to be credible of what we are doing, especially vis-a-vis the scientists, but also vis-a-vis the diplomats. So there is a balance to be found between, on the one hand, getting in the terrain of local politics, okay, which any politician had the right, if he gives money, to be demanding what is happening to this money. Is this being used really in a non-political manner, which we need to do? On the other hand, we need this as a confirmation that this is not the subject of some private enterprises. This is a real interest of a government or of a state like the Canton of Geneva or the city of Geneva. So we have to find this balance. One thing which I did from the very beginning, and in agreement with my vice president, I said, I will accept this job in one condition: I will not be remunerated and I will take care of my own costs. So that I'm not, and my vice chairman, we are not receiving public money. Okay? The second thing was important, that as we are a public-private enterprise, if you want, or institution, perhaps better, we are not an enterprise, we are a non-for-profit organization, was that we committed straight away to the founders that as a minimum, we will match the public money with private money. But there again, we were extremely careful. We said we are not going to accept money from anybody who could be interpreted as having an interest, which is, again, a difficult balance to find. So we have accepted only money which is coming from foundations. And in this sense, we were, of course, extremely happy that we had two Geneva foundations. The last one we have just signed, which is La Fondation pour Genève, where we have with them signed, and they are the patronizer, the sponsors of the Breakthrough Radar. So, but we have not accepted corporate money, and we have not accepted government money from any country outside of Switzerland.
So you partly answered my next question, but let me put it to you anyway, but in a slightly different way. How does it work in an organization like Gesta? How will you continue to be, because I think you've been going now, 3 years? So obviously that's a very short period of time to achieve such impressive targets as you have. How will it continue to be funded in order to grow, and will it require more public money, or does the private sector need to step up more?
Well, I think, Gesta was created for a 3 year period, an initial 3 year period. That's the one we had to fund. That's the way how we were doing the matching of the funds that we have received. And as a matter of fact, we have been overmatching that what we received from the public money. So we, in this respect, we are fine. After the 3 year period, and it will be after the summit, the founders will have to decide whether they continue with Gesta, and I'm sure that the summit and the Breakthrough Radar and the reception that this will receive will be decisive on the continuation. I personally believe that from what I have seen, I think we have created a fantastic institution in a short period of time, and I'm confident that the founders will continue to support it.
Okay.
My answer to you is, we will need again public money. My answer will be yes, because of the same reason I mentioned before. If you want to be neutral, it is very important for us to have a neutral funding. So I think if the government and the canton, they consider that this is worthwhile to support, yes, we should have, but at the same time, with a clear engagement from our side to match this money, at least to match it for the following period. The second one is that Shesta is not created to do afterwards. The application of solutions will always go to others. We will be the spiritual fathers. We will be the motivators. We will bring people together that they do afterwards.
That's an important point.
So for that to help, we have created an impact fund. Now, the impact fund afterwards, which will need much more money than the chest organization by itself, this one will then be having its own financing criteria and will be mainly financed through corporate money or through private money.
Okay?
So that's a big difference.
My guest today is Peter Brabeck-Lemata, president of the Gesta Foundation, and we're talking about the Geneva Science and Diplomacy Anticipator. That is what the acronym Gesta stands for. Peter, I just want to ask you to explain a little bit about your own relationship with this word anticipatory, because from what I've read and know about you, you've already made a significant mark in what could be called anticipatory behavior by drawing important attention to water. And you did this more than 10 years ago, from what I understand. Please can you share with me and our listeners your experiences in this area? And I mean the use of water, the value of water, and how your significant anticipation, there's that word again, was picked up by other interdisciplinary groups and stakeholders. As I understand it was. If you could just throw some light on that for me, please.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned before, I mean, I got involved with the issue of the water. It's now almost 15 years.
15
ago.
Years. Huh?
Yes, yeah. When I brought it up the first time at the WEF in Davos. And there were about 15 people in the room because nobody ever thought about the effect of water. Now, the fundamental thing on the water side was to bring facts and facts and facts. And I think this is something which is common also with Gesta. This thing is fact-based, scientifically fact-based. The water issue 15 years ago has shown very clearly that we, at that point of time, we had a water deficit of about 20% already. Nobody talked about
it. As much as that.
As much as that. And that if nothing we would be doing, we will have a deficit of 40% by 2030. And that is tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Not
far away.
Years
no.
Or something like this. Mm. Now, what does it mean? It means that every single year, we are taking a substantial amount more water from the environment then can be refilled, okay? Mm. And from whom do we take it away? It's basically from the environment that needs this type of water in order to sustain itself. So we take it away from the big lakes, like we take it away from the Lake de Aral, which today is a desert, okay? Or we take it away from the big rivers, so we have five rivers which are not bringing water to the sea anymore. Or we take it away from the underground reservoirs which we have, which are drying up one after the other, as we can see in California, okay? So we anticipated that this will happen, and based on these facts, we then were able to create a group, a public-private partnership, which was called the Water Resource Group 2030, which is still existing and which is still working. Unfortunately, I must say, in spite of all what we have been doing and the Water Resource Group is doing, we have not been able to get a grip on it, and the situation, the water situation, is as daring as we forecasted it before.
Because of neglect or war or for a combination of reasons?
No, I think because people are still not taking into consideration that this phenomena exists. There is still some water to be withdrawn. You do not see the Ara lakes, Tri and the Sirtik. You do not see the Lake of Chad. You do not see the big lakes, okay? And above all, you don't see the underwater reservoirs. Mm. So then it only comes forward when you have a drought and suddenly there is no water available, neither for agriculture or for the human consumption. So this is a problem. But anticipating it came out also at that time when we created this water resource group, was extremely important. The second thing that was important was, again, in order to have an impact, in order to have credibility, you have to embed your public-private partnership into credible institutions. We started, and I was privileged that Klaus Schwab allowed me to install it in the beginning in the World Economic Forum. Then when it became bigger and international, we were working at 14 different countries of the world, I was able to put it into the IFC, into the Internet Finance Company, and nowadays it is in the World Bank. So it has this neutral, over-political frame where it is embedded. Same thing with Chester. This is why it is so important for us at Chester to have the backing of the Swiss government, which is considered a neutral government in the world overall. And we are fact-based. And if you think about that these 4,000 scientists and 543 which were active working, none of them, nor any diplomat, hundreds of diplomats working in these 2 years, none of them received one centime. Everybody participated in this work free of charge. Why? Because they realized, both parties, that there is an enormous value in having an institution like JESTA that for the first time brings together what will be in the future and confronted today already with the political framing that is needed in order to make it applicable.
It's illuminating that you say that, because I'm sure a lot of people just don't appreciate that, and it's good that you've explained it the way you have. Let's just talk a little bit about Geneva, and I've got a particular question for you, Peter, to ask in terms of international and multilateral diplomats. They're very keen to talk about international Geneva. Usually it's in English as opposed to Genève Internationale, international Geneva. But I ask you, to be serious, but I ask you, in your long experience in business, how is Geneva perceived in the corporate boardrooms of the various corners of the world with which you're familiar and have visited as a corporate leader? And what can or should it do, Geneva? What can Geneva do or should it do to be perceived and regarded even better in corporate boardrooms?
Well, if I talk now my experience from a corporate boardroom, the idea about international Geneva was never very present. What, however, was very present were the members of the international Geneva.
Just so make that distinction, the members of that community.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, for us was important the World Trade Organization, okay? Because for any decision were to invest into a new factory, well, you better know from what you can send from where to what and things like this. So with the WTO, World Health Organization, for a company like Nestle, extremely important. The WIPRO. But on the other side...
The World Intellectual Property Organization.
World International Property Organization. The World Labor Organization, okay?
Yeah.
Conflicts. I mean, when we have conflicts with labor unions. So what I wanted to say, the concept of La Genève Internationale in a boardroom is not, because this is more a political expression.
Yes.
Okay. In a boardroom, as a businessman, the members of La Genève Internationale were important, very important. So that's it. Now, the question that you are asking then afterwards is, what does Geneva has to do that it maintains its attractiveness? I think the first thing it has to do, it has to be relevant. and relevant for the for the political system, but also relevant for the corporate
system. So relevant for the boardrooms and relevant for the times.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is a little bit where I think the founders of Gesta have been thinking about. They said, look, La Genève Internationale has been created in big part by the events of the Second World War. Today's problems...
And the first as well. Yeah.
And the first. Yeah. But I would say a lot of them was in the second. Yeah. Yeah, the first we had the Völkerbund and the thing like this. Yeah. But I mean WTO and those things, okay? So they correspond to the problematic of 70 years ago. Now, Geneva Internationale has to ask itself, will they be relevant in the next 50 years as a center of multilateralism, yes or no? And this is the most important question. And again, Gesta was partially created in order to give an answer to this question. I think the Swiss government was a little bit impressed when they were seeing that newly created international organizations were going to Oslo or to Vienna or to Singapore and were not installed in Switzerland. So they asked themselves, rightly so, do we have the framework, do we have the institutions that will be important in the next 50 years? So this is the first thing. So relevance, it has to stay up relevant, has to renew it on the one hand side, and it has to be expanded into relevant areas, okay? So, and the second one, of course, is, which is even broader, if you want to be the center of multilateralism, you have to assure that multilateralism is important. Okay?
Yeah.
So there is an intrinsic task for Geneva to prove the importance of multilateralism.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over, over again. So those two things, I think, are what Geneva has to be looking out and has to be looking forward. And I hope that at Gesta we will be able to help in this direction.
That's great. That's a very, very full and very helpful answer. Last question, Peter, and it's a bit of a long-winded question, forgive me, but I think you'll see that it feeds into exactly what you've just been talking about. In your long career, you've been on the board of some conspicuously significant corporations, like, for example, Credit Suisse, L'Oreal, ExxonMobil. You're also a member of the European Roundtable of Industrialists, and as you said, the foundation of the World Economic Forum. Now, Frank McNamara, you probably know that name from way back, founder of Club, the first charge, once said, find your niche and then dominate. It's great advice to marketing people. Do you think that advice, Peter, from an innovator of the 1950s could be applied to what Geneva and Switzerland are doing and must continue to do with Gesta as it aims to serve as an honest broker of debate and collaboration? I take those words from a report that I read recently, an honest broker of debate and collaboration within the worlds of science and diplomacy. Or does Gesta need something more to sustain it and propel it towards contributing to the domination of international Geneva's niche and long-term success? It's a bit long, but I think you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I understand very, very well what you're saying. I would say that, the success of Gesta, which is very important not only for us, but I think it's important for the future of Geneva, is going to be proven by the success of the first summit that we have. This will be the breakthrough event. Either we do it or we disappear. From what I have seen, the enthusiasm I have seen, which this has created in the scientific world, which has created in the multilateral political world. And I'm saying this quite carefully because that's what is important for us. It's not the political party which we are looking forward to get approval. We look for the multilateral diplomacy. For that we are working, okay? The positive feedback that we have seen, the collaboration that we have received, makes me very, very confident that this first summit is going to be a success, that the breakthrough, the scientific breakthrough radar, is something that will be surprising to many people outside of the diplomacy world, outside of the scientific world. I have discussed with heads of universities who have told me that their future research program will be influenced by this radar. And I'm absolutely sure that in corporate boardrooms, this document is going to be as important as we have international competitive reports and things like this. Because even as a member of a board, as an entrepreneur, I will see for the first time, but I never had the opportunity, what's really going on. What are those breakthroughs that are there? The fact that we are able to bring the first new institution into Geneva, which is also being announced, which is the XPRIZE, very famous XPRIZE, which is one of the biggest private prizes competition, will be launched on quantum computing, will be launched and will be settled in Geneva. So we also have a first institution coming into Geneva, which is really doing what we were saying, renewing it and creating the prospect for the future. So my feeling is that in this sense, we will be successful. And as such, I think we will be transforming ourselves in one of the key pillars of the renovation of the Geneva International.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's very, very, very important news, and I'm pleased that you explained it so well. Peter, many thanks for answering my questions so fully. We're out of time, but it's really been a delight to talk to you. I've learned a lot, and I wish JESDA every success as it builds its place and niche in the future. And I'm sure I speak for all the listeners who've been with us today. My guest today has been Peter Brabeck-Lemata, president of the Geneva Science and Diplomacy Anticipator Foundation, JESDA. Thank you again, Peter.
Thank you very much, Michael.
That was the McKay Interview with Michael McKay. And don't forget, you can hear that interview again on our website, worldradio.ch.